All right, let's begin with a word of prayer and we'll get started. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for getting me here on time for Sunday school. And Lord, I love this time to just get into your word, to study what you have for us. And Father, I pray that the lesson this morning would be one that speaks to our hearts, and we would all be edified because of it. I thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, today we're actually going to start out in Acts chapter 26, but we will be going to 1 Peter chapter 4. So just to kind of let you know where we're going. So now you may have heard the phrase that he who aims at nothing hits it every time, okay? And, you know, the thing to remember in context, you know, of our lesson this morning is that God saved you for a reason, okay? His plan is perfect, and he's given us, by the way, everything we need to accomplish that plan, okay? Or as you execute his plan, he will give you everything that you need to do it for his purposes, for his honor, and for his glory. And, you know, God may reveal his plan to us step by step. Sometimes he doesn't give it to us all at once, and that's okay. Other times, you know, he may call a person into a lifetime of service. You know, maybe as a pastor, maybe as a missionary on a foreign mission field. You know, parts of Phoenix feel like a foreign mission field, frankly. But, you know, whatever it is, he may call you, and he certainly reveals his plan. And whatever he does, either way, we've got to stay focused on what he has placed before us. Now, we'll look at Acts chapter 26 and verse 16. Acts 26 and verse 16. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. And then I also want to, just you don't have to turn there necessarily, but 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. And then lastly, Ephesians 3:11, according to the eternal purpose which he has purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now these three verses have, you know, you could say sort of a common theme to it, and that's purpose and direction, okay? And, you know, we need to be attentive to how the Holy Spirit is leading us as God reveals his plan for our life. We need to follow that plan with purpose and direction. Now, we can go to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, we've been there before, but we're going to take a look at some of it again. 1 Peter 4 and verse 2, 1 Peter 4 and verse 2, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. And then you think about this, what a waste of our lives to just live for things that are not going to pass beyond this lifetime, okay? You know, this life is not going to last forever. And in fact, I think many of us will not see death, okay? Because I think we're nearing the end of the end times. And I'll remind you of a quote, and I think you've probably all heard this, but Charles Thomas Studd, often just referred to as C.T. Studd, and you can call me D.L. Smith if you'd like, but C.T. Studd, he was a British missionary and in the early 20th century. And in a poem, he penned these words, "Only one life to live, 'twill soon be past, only what's done for Christ will last." And that I love that quote. It really drives home, you know, where our priorities should be. And by the way, the next thing that he wrote right after that, "And when I am dying, how happy I'll be if the lamp of my life has been burned out for thee." And you know what? He lived that kind of life, you know. He wrote, "Some want to live within the sound of a church or chapel bell. I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell." And you know, as he lived his life, much of it on the foreign mission field, he died on the foreign mission field in 1931 in a place which we now know today as the Democratic Republic of the Congo. Okay? So he died out there in the jungles of Africa, but why? Because he had a burden for the lost. It was God's plan for his life, and he was following that plan. And so, you know, the choice is not between pleasure and misery. The choice is between pleasure and pleasure. Okay? In other words, the pleasure of sin is but for a short time. Okay? But God promises us eternal pleasure if we follow his will. And that's where our focus needs to be. In Hebrews 11:25, it says, "In part, to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season." And that's not where we want to be. You know, much of our society today just lives for the moment. Okay? What kind of self-gratification can I get right here, right now? And because we've really become such a materialistic society. I remember one of our missionaries, and I can't remember which one it was, but he was a missionary to, I think, one of the countries in Africa, and he was talking about how, you know, here in the United States, you know, sometimes we're trying to decide, you know, well, I'm going to go out to eat today. Do I want Italian? Do I want Greek? Do I want American food? And in the country where he was called to, they don't think that way at all. You know, they have the same thing every day, only one meal a day. And it just wouldn't even compute to them, you know, to think of all these other, you know, types of food. So, you know, we've been blessed in this country tremendously. And, you know, because God says righteousness exalteth a nation. However, the other part of that is sin is a reproach to any people. And I was looking for the clause that said except America, and you know, I couldn't find it. Couldn't find it. And so, you know, God's word is sure. In Psalm 16:11, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." So you know what? I want to be as close to Jesus as I can. Okay? And you don't want to waste a moment of your life for pleasures that are only fleeting, really, and sometimes can be fatal, okay? If you want your life to count, live it for something that will outlast it, okay? Live it for something that outlasts it. Only God's will and his work will outlast this present world. And so we got to dedicate ourselves today to use our time for that which will count for eternity, okay? And by the way, you know, oftentimes, you know, we talk about, you know, hey, you know, as Christians, we need to witness to the lost. And, you know, you'll hear that phrase that, hey, you know what? You don't know how much time that person has left, okay? So take the opportunity to witness, but I would also remind you, you don't know how much time you have to serve the Lord, okay? It may be your last opportunity to witness that person because, you know, God's not calling him home tomorrow. He's calling you home tomorrow. And, you know, we just have to have that understanding that, you know, none of us have any guarantees of tomorrow. So let's use the time that we have wisely. In 1 Peter 4:2, kind of the other part of that verse is, "But to the will of God," and that's what we want to follow. God's will is perfect according to Romans 12:2, which reads, by the way, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now, I don't know what you think, but I think it's impossible to improve upon perfect. Okay? I mean, you just can't do it. You might think that, well, you know, I've got some pretty good ideas, you know, but they're not perfect. God's will is perfect. Your best plans can never match His perfect will. And you won't be disappointed at the judgment seat of Christ if you stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. How much better is it to suffer through some trials, and we've been talking about that, we need to be prepared for those trials that eventually and almost inevitably will come in our lives, and we need to be prepared, but you know what? It's better to go through those trials and remain true to His word, true to His will, and hit the target, you know, than to have a carefree life and miss the mark of God, okay? So, it's just, you know, the analogy that, you know, it was a very familiar one, but it just makes so much sense, is Peter getting out of the boat, you know, and as long as he maintained a laser-like focus on Jesus, you know, he was walking on water, okay? Something that nobody has ever done before other than Jesus himself. Unless you want to come with me to Minnesota in the month of January, you can walk on water there. But this was not frozen water, okay? But it's only when he took his eyes off the Lord, you know, and look, he's a human being. He was just like us, okay? And, you know, I tend to think I'd probably, you know, get a little frightened by some of the waves. Yes, Brother Mel. No. And, you know, the first part of that verse, Romans 12:2, "and be not conformed to this world," you know, I could really get into a digression on that because I believe so many churches are conforming themselves to the world, okay? Particularly in the area of music and, you know, that's, like I say, I could really digress on that, you know, but just, you know, in our own personal lives, and we can personalize that, you know, it could be, "And Dave, be not conformed to this world. And John, be not conformed to this world." You know, in other words, you know, the world needs to be able to tell that you're something different. Okay. Well, cookie cutter, but also adopting the patterns and styles and behaviors that are commonly found in the world. You know, I think, well, as Pastor has pointed out, you know, there's a lot of young people are buying Bibles, you know, these days, okay? They're looking for something, okay? And, you know, I want a young person like that, you know, that when they've left the rock concert last week and they walk into the doors of a church, they don't just get hit with another rock concert, okay? Because that's really a tragedy. It really is, because they're looking for the truth. And instead, a lot of churches within just a five-mile radius of this building, okay, it's, as I've said before, it's a 40-minute rock concert followed by a 10-minute sermonette, okay? And that's really unfortunate. But anyway, I am digressing. As I said, I'm going to try not to do, but it couldn't help it. In Psalm 40, verse 8, it says, "I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart." Okay? And that's something I really have to challenge myself to do. You know, I want to hide more of his word in my heart. Okay? Especially, you know, for me, I think the way I kind of prioritize it is I want to remember scriptures that I can use to help somebody, help lead somebody to Christ, okay? Because that's the Great Commission. That's, you know, what I should be doing. You know, I serve as the church clerk. You know what? I've always believed that the most important responsibility of a church clerk is to win souls for Christ, okay? Coincidentally, that also happens to be, I think, the most important thing for a Sunday school teacher to do, and for a pastor, and for any church member, any Christian, okay, who may happen to be a church member, or any Christian who is not a church member. If you're a Christian, you need to be telling others about Christ. In Psalm 143, verse 10, it says, Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God, thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. So teach me to do thy will. You know, there's no better teacher than the Holy Spirit, and he speaks to you through his word, okay? And that's how you're going to get taught, okay, to do his will. Someone has said, and you've heard this before, close only counts in horseshoes. Right? And certainly coming close to the will of God will not count for much when we meet the Lord. When it comes to God's plan, we want to and we must hit the bullseye. Okay? We need to stay adamant. God wants all of us to have a little righteous stubbornness once in a while. Christians need to develop some grit and determination. Have you ever thought that when God saved Saul of Tarsus and changed his life from murderer to missionary, he probably didn't change much about his personality, okay? Yeah, Paul was a little hard-headed, okay? He could be stubborn, but God used that personality trait. Why? Because you know what? He was determined to do God's will, what God had called him to do, in spite of suffering. And as we've looked at before, he is somebody who suffered much, okay, before he was finally executed. But he just, you know, had that steadfast determination. And so God uses personalities that way. And, you know, as I said a moment ago, you know, I really believe we're in the last days, okay? And this is no time for us to be spiritual wimps. There's a lost and dying world out there, and, you know, we don't know when we're going to hear the trumpet sound, okay? As somebody once told me, you know, I said, Dave, look at these people that are shopping. You know, we're at a retail center, and he said, you know, do you see shoppers or do you see souls that will spend eternity somewhere? Okay? And that's what, you know, we need to be spiritually minded and be thinking in spiritual terms and then just get motivated and do his will and his work. Psalm 62:2, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Psalm 16:8, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. So it's okay to dig in our heels and be unmoved when it comes to fiery trials. And so if you're facing a trial in your life, you just need to continue maintaining your focus on God and what his will and his work is for you. And just trust that he is in control. And then just stay determined to fight the good fight. As Corrie Ten Boom once said, when a train goes through a tunnel and it gets dark, you don't throw away the ticket and jump off. You just sit still and trust the engineer. Okay? Kind of makes sense. Yeah. We also, and this is, I think, especially true for new believers, okay, but it remains true for the rest of our lives, is we have to avoid past associations if they're the wrong associations. In 1 Peter 4:3, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. Okay? And you know that word lasciviousness, it's not a word that you hear much today, but it is something that is practiced widely in our society. Okay? Lasciviousness is lewd, animal-like behavior. And that's how the world chooses to exist. It's a product, by the way, of the teaching of evolution, okay, which really just dehumanizes us, you know. You just came from some little amoeba that washed up on shore and turned into a monkey and all the rest of it. I mean, it's just ridiculous, Brother Mel. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Moral incontinence. You're absolutely right. And so it's usually the who that hinders you, not the what. Okay? So we have to be careful about the who's that are in our lives. All right? So I'm going to leave it there. I'm going to close in prayer, and then I just have a little announcement to make once I'm done. And so don't go anywhere just yet. All right? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word, which once again is our beacon, our guiding light that will guide us through whatever storms of life may come our way. And when those storms come, Lord, we just have to trust that you know all about it. Nothing can happen in our lives unless it first passes by the throne of God. And so, Father, just help us to remain steadfast in our commitment to you. I thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.